Well, I have a couple of comedy pieces. One is old and very silly, and the other is more recent and satire. What's your preference?
Old and silly.
Recent.
Old and silly?
As long as it's Trump, yeah, we need to...
Well, I'm... old and silly, I heard that first, so... this was originally written when I lived in Honolulu. I was a rock and roll disc jockey there, and I used to do put on bits that were actually a play on a guy who sold cars, used cars in Hawaii, named Lippy Espinda. And he would host the Saturday afternoon, you know, movies and stuff like that, and in total Hawaiian pidgin accent and stuff like that. But he was great. So I invented a character named Dippy Shavinda, and this is a fake car commercial from Dippy. How's it, folks? This Dippy Shavinda down here to tell you all you folks there about some outstanding, fantastic buys over here at Dippy's Used Car and I. Just take one look at this terrific 39 Bulgemobile. We get one just like it that was used by one Opake Wahine in Hola for pick up the morning advertiser at the end of her driveway. So she stay in primo condition, and we give them to you for just $39 down, $39 a month for 39 months. No matter you stay poor and get no job already, we even loan you the first $39. So come on down and see me at Dippy Shivinda, Dippy's Yukon Lanai, at the corner of Puka and Pakalolo. Okay, roll that movie, Shaka. Okay, and now the piece de resistance. This is brand new. Susan saw it online, and this actually got more likes than I've gotten on one of these in a while. I write pieces that are actually meant to be lyrical and philosophical and stuff like that. They're called thought bubbles. I do have them on Facebook. Look for thought bubbles and my beautiful face there. But I wrote one this week. It's called Vanilla Blessings. And this is really about white privilege. And it's kind of near and dear to me because, again, I was in D.C. for a long time, and all my poet friends, all the other performers at the open mics there were black. And God damn, did they do some painful fucking poetry, stories of real life and stuff like that. And, you know, here I am, white boy with privilege. Vanilla Blessings. Ho-hum, there's a strange thing about boredom. It only happens when things are going right. It's the most obvious sign that privilege is your constant companion. Boredom's indeed a blessing, a luxury, but I didn't do anything to deserve it. My starting line was simply set way ahead of most people's. Perhaps my life is a testament to America's great white age, the middle of the 20th century. I was born into the middle of America, too, in Ohio, the most demographically normal state in the Union, and to a middle-class family of European descent. Call me vanilla. Call me vanilla if you like. And yet, even vanilla is a distinct flavor, unique and more subtle than most. My vanilla concoction does have a few nuts in it to set it apart, though. When I was 5, our family of 7 moved out of our humble house, a rather small 1930s clapboard affair, into a bigger place. It was custom built, but never quite finished. Still, it was in the swankiest part of the county, where much of the real estate was really estates. Behind our house, I had an expansive hardwood forest to play in, a place where Shawnee Indians once tread, but I encountered nothing more dangerous than a raccoon. The nearby creek bed was replete with Ordovician fossils, ancient forms frozen in the limestone and washed by the gurgling flow, itself alive with tadpoles and water striders. When I wasn't in the woods, I busied myself building model airplanes of the World Wars, shooting BB guns and racing electric slot cars to the Beach Boys' bright beats. I did go to a public school, one well-funded by the swanky neighbors, but I was unimpressed by it all, a lazy student of B's and C's. In some ways, our life paralleled the sitcom families like Leave It to Beaver and Ozzie and Harriet, though my mother never vacuumed in high heels. Actually, no, our house was never as spick and span as those TV dwellings, and the crazy comic relief neighbors never showed up to dinner. Certainly, our family was not Beverly Hillbilly rich either, but my dad, an engineer, was able to keep our driveway full of the latest sleekly shaped steel. Our water and power never faltered. Food and shelter were consumed and assumed. Our house was simply without crisis. There was the odd spanking for a juvenile transgression, of course, but our family had hardly any sibling rivalry or parental arguments. Like the sitcoms, we're damn short on real strife. No major tragedy so common in other locales was visited upon us. American white myopia intrudes. I hardly ever take time to take stock, but when I give the circumstances of my upbringing even the slightest glance of inspection, I have to marvel. That list of birthrights probably puts me ahead of at least 90% of the people on this planet. But to us, we were normal. Maybe extraordinary is better. Fed and clothed with nothing more violent than a few schoolyard bullies to deal with. Everywhere I looked, it was all blessed with normalcy. So was everyone else I knew. We are so normal that we had no idea we are actually an outlier. And therein grows a strange kind of conceit. Vanilla blessings, white privilege, it's a very real thing, unfortunately, to those visited by such boons. It's invisible. So chew on that one a while.